In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. How should we approach the worship of God? The answer to that question we find in Psalm 25, Psalm 26 in most Bibles that you would find in the bookstore. The fathers say that this psalm was written by the prophet King David when he was fleeing from Saul and was unjustly accused of treason. And it begins, "Judge me, O Lord, for in mine innocence have I walked, and hoping in the Lord I shall not grow weak." When it says, "Judge me," that could be translated as "vindicate me." It's a cry for God's justice. And if we want to be able to stand before God's judgment, we have to walk in innocence. But if we are not innocent, as all of us are before we come to Christ, we can be made so, but only by repentance and forgiveness. And so he says, "Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Prove with fire my reins and my heart." As I mentioned before, the reins, you don't hear this word used very much anymore, but you find it in Scripture and in the services. The heart, we know, at least we ought to know, that in Scripture that's referred to as the seat of our thoughts and our will. But the reins are the seat of our emotions. And what it's saying is, God, look inside me. See if there's anything in me that's not right. Purify me. So when it says prove with fire, it's referring to the refining fire of the grace of the Holy Spirit. Elsewhere in the Psalms, in Psalm 138, it says, "Prove me, O God, and know my heart. Examine me and know my paths, and see if the way of iniquity be in me, and guide me in the way everlasting." This is a prayer, or at least the kind of prayer, that we should be praying when we're preparing for confession, because we want God to show us if there's anything in us that's not right. And when God shows us those things, we have to have the willingness to actually repent of those things, which means we have to have the willingness to put forth the effort on our part to stop doing those things and to sincerely ask God to give us the grace to be successful in that effort. And we have to have a sorrow that we've offended God in that way and a sincere desire to please Him by doing His will. "For Thy mercy is before mine eyes, and I have been well-pleasing in Thy truth." It's God's mercy that enables us to walk in innocence. And Christ, who is the truth, is the one who makes us well-pleasing before God. "I will not set with the counsel of vanity, nor will I go in with them that transgress the law. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and with the ungodly will I not sit." What this means is that we won't take part in any of the evil of the wicked. It doesn't mean that we have no contact with sinners at all, because when we read the Gospels, we see that Christ ate with sinners. He talked with sinners. He was reaching out to them, but what did he not do? He didn't take part in their sins. He didn't just hang out with them and do the kinds of things that they were doing. And that's what it's talking about here, is that we have no part in the evil that the wicked do. Also, there are those who are sinners who know that there are sinners, but then there are those who call themselves Christians and who live in open immorality, and often they'll openly justify what it is they're doing, especially in our times. And St. Paul tells us how we're to deal with those people. He says, "I wrote to you in an epistle not to make company with fornicators, yet not altogether with fornicators of the world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world." So in other words, he's saying, I told you not to keep company with certain kinds of people, but I wasn't talking about everybody, because you couldn't live in this world without encountering people who are guilty of these sins. But then he says, "But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner. With such a one, do not eat." So when someone says, "Yes, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian," and yet they're living in a way that's directly diametrically opposed to what it means to be a Christian, we are not to have fellowship with that person. Now, If that person's showing any signs of a willingness to repent, that's a whole other question. But we're talking about someone who's defiantly refusing to repent. We're not just to have a casual relationship with that person to act like the things that they're doing are no big deal. I will wash my hands in innocency, and I will compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may hear the voice of thy praise and tell of all thy wondrous works. Beginning with this verse, this is a prayer that the clergy say when they wash their hands as they prepare to serve the liturgy. And as St. Cyril of Jerusalem points out when he talks about this to the catechumens that he was instructing, they don't wash their hands because they come into church with dirty hands. They wash their hands because it's a reminder of the kind of spiritual purity that one has to have if they're to enter into God's presence and to worship him in a right way. O Lord, I have loved the beauty of thy house and the place where thy glory dwelleth. To love the beauty of God's house is to love the services of the church, to show pious reverence in the house of God, and to take great care to conduct ourselves in such a way that we will add to the beauty of God's house rather than to detract from it. Destroy not my soul with the ungodly, nor my life with men of blood, in whose hands are iniquities, their right hands are full of bribes. We ask that God will not judge us with the sinners, that he will not give us the reward that awaits the sinners, but rather that we will be redeemed by God's mercy. But as for me, in mine innocence have I walked, redeem me, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Then it concludes with these words, my foot has stood in uprightness, in the congregations will I bless the Lord. We can bless the Lord properly only when we stand on the firm, unshakable ground of God's righteousness. And we bless God in the congregations, which could also be translated as churches, because in Greek that's exactly the same word as we use for churches. This refers to the Universal Orthodox Church, which shares one faith, one Lord, and one baptism. We first have to ask God to search our hearts and to show us if there's any sin in our life and to purify us. And trusting in his mercy, we have to repent and to be made pure and innocent and to walk in that innocency. We have to actually live the Christian life, having no share in the counsels and the ways of the ungodly. And we have to love the service of the church, love the house of God, love the beauty of his house. When it talks about earlier in the psalm, compassing thine altar, what that means is that we're frequently coming to church. We're standing in the circle of all those who come here on a regular basis. And so if we love the beauty of God's house, we're going to be here. We're going to be here early, and we're going to be here seriously with the intent to worship God and to do so in a right way. And when we come to God's house, we do so that we can hear his word and praise his wondrous works. And if we do so, our lot will not be with the wicked, but with the righteous. And we will ever bless the Lord. Amen.